Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Some faces I see often, but some that I don't see all the time. We're so thankful that you're here this morning. My father is in Clarence, Lancaster area at a church called Lovejoy Church, where he is a part of the apostolic oversight of that ministry there. He has been for many years. And typically he goes during the week, but they ask him to come on a Sunday. And so that's where he is this morning. He's preaching. He's just not preaching here. And so you're stuck with me. We're going to have a good time this morning. Amen. Hey, first thing in my notes this morning, I just want to tell you how grateful I am, not only for my parents and my brothers here this morning, extended family, Sam's side of the families here, my in-laws and so on, but in particular, my wife this morning. And I've never done this before, but I really felt a confirmation. I asked my dad about it, and he said, absolutely do that. I want you to come on up here and just say hello to the people. Give her a hand, will you?
Hi, everybody. So this is not my place here. I'm not very comfortable with this. I teach the kids next door, first grade through sixth grade, big kids every Sunday except the last Sunday, which is why I'm in here. So I like seeing all the kids in here, and I more so enjoy speaking to them over there because it's just a little easier than being in front of all of you, but thank you.
Give her a hand. Let me just tell you this. If she doesn't have my back, I can't do what I'm doing this morning. So I just want you to show you my backbone this morning. She's right here, so I'm thankful for my wife. Thankful for my family. But let me just say this. I'm thankful for extended family. I said that the Lord spoke to me immediately this morning and said something to me that I want to say to you, that every meaningful relationship I've ever made has been in God's house. With God's people, around God's people. And you might say, well, you know, I don't have that many friends. I'm not that connected. I want to encourage you to become connected, and I'm going to show you how to do that in just a second. But first of all, I want to point you to something that the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of this year. He pointed me towards daily habits. And a daily habit, if you can put that slide up there, we're going to move quick this morning. The YouVersion app is an opportunity, a very distinct opportunity, because they have broken down a church by the name of Life Church, actually founded this app. They have 60,000 members, so I think they kind of know what they're doing. They have set up daily reading plans so you can read the Bible front to back. And let me just say this to you. If you are a believer in here this morning, you say, hey, Ryan, I feel empty. I feel lost. I don't know what's wrong with me. Let me just point you in a direction this morning that will create some peace and stability and some joy in your heart and in your life. It's this right here. It's God's word every single day into your heart and your spirit. And I want you to do me a favor. If you've started doing this and it's made a distinct impact on your life, just stand real quick. Stand up. All these people have started reading daily this app, which is God's word. You don't have to read it off the app. You can sit down. Thank you so much. They've begun to read off of either God's word in paper form or this app. And I'm telling you, I sense a real army of the Lord being raised up in this house. And I'm going to tell you, you can't do it just in this setting. It won't work. Some of you leave here feeling fantastic, and then Monday hits you like a ton of bricks. If you're working on this and you got the word of God, thy word have I hid in my heart, David said, that I would not sin against thee. I want you to do this. How many of you say, you know what, I'll try it for 30 days. Just wave at me. Oh, don't overwhelm me. Oh, there, look at all the hands. Okay, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to be asking you. And then the next thing is this. I'm talking about connect groups. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about having connections. These are some ways to get connected. Don't do life alone. Don't tell me I don't feel connected. I just can't find any friends. And not at least try going to one of these ministries. And I'm going to just highlight, Sam just told you about one on Sunday mornings, but let me highlight one other one. The adults will be doing a Day of Hope. Adults, we're going to go to a widow's home on Liberty Street this Wednesday and also this Saturday. She lost her husband within the last year or so, and she has open code violations on her house. So if she doesn't get these things fixed, she gets fined by the municipality. Do you follow what I'm saying? So we're going to go there. We went to Home Depot just a few days ago. They're going to donate all the material. It's about $1,000 worth of material. And we're just going to go there. We're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And let me just tell you this. The friendships that I've made by serving the works of the kingdom of God, fantastic friends. These guys that I've connected with on the last project, fantastic people. So please, 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 get connected. Don't do life alone. It's a miserable life when you do life alone. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, again, we're blessed to see you this morning. I'm going to minister to you this morning. This is something that the Holy Spirit has been working in me. You know, I've been in church all my life, and I heard, not from my dad, but I've heard from certain voices that I've had in my life, you need to do this. You need to do that. If you'll only do this, then this will happen. Let me just tell you something. It always starts in us. As we minister, my dad and I, we talk about it all the time. God begins to minister something to us that he's correcting, that he's changing, that he's rearranging. And then all we get to do is on Sunday morning, we get to regurgitate the correction and the redirecting of the Holy Spirit that he's highlighting in our lives, and then we just share it with you. So I'm gonna be real transparent with you this morning. How many of you like that? There's all the gossipers. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's just teasing. Just teasing. What? When I begin to ask the Holy Spirit what to share, this is about a month ago. This is what he shared with me. I had a birthday party for my wife had the party. I just, you know, I showed up. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? She had a party, and we'd love to have everybody, but we just can't have the whole church. But we begin to have this party, and a few kids, we have Tuesday night activity night, and we see between 50 and 200 kids on a Tuesday night, every single Tuesday night. And we begin to have this party on a Sunday afternoon, and here's what happens. Every time the lights are on, guess who shows up? The kids show up. We begin to have this party, and in this night of our party, I don't know, it was 5, 6, 7 o'clock, four kids, the minute I pulled in that parking lot and we begin to haul food through the doors, I see four little kids come running across that parking lot into the front doors, and I had a decision to make that you'll have to make many, many times in your life. Do I just preach or do I practice what I preach? And so I said to them, come on in, guys. And I began to love on them. And we just included them like they had an invite to the party. And they began to eat. And they shoved their pockets so full of candy and food and all kinds of stuff. I promise you, their pockets were lined with spaghetti sauce on the way home. They had all they could do. They were blessed beyond measure. As he began to open his gifts, they sat on the front row of him opening gifts. We treated those kids like absolute family. Amen. And I'm taking you somewhere right now, so stick with me on this story. We get all done. They play basket. They hung out. We ate together. I don't even know we know how to eat. And we ate together. We hung out together. And at the very end, their parents showed up. And that's where the story takes quite a different turn. Their parents got aggravated about something, and they attacked my wife. And I'll tell you something, and the men know what I'm talking about. When you attack my wife, you will see a side of me. And I just begin to ask the Lord, Lord, as I begin to walk down the hall to engage these people, because it wasn't just an uncomfortable time, it actually turned somewhat, I thought it might turn violent. And I begin to ask the Lord, and all of a sudden, they were gone. And I said, thank you, Lord, that I didn't get arrested at my son's birthday party. And they left, and I begin to contemplate this, and I said to the Lord these words. I said, Lord, why did I bless these people? Why did I bless these kids? Why did I minister to these people? And they were so ungrateful. They were so unthankful. They could have cared less that I was a complete blessing to them. Why in the world would they treat me in return the way they did after I blessed them so much? And I want you to catch this, because a few of you are you're gonna feel something twist in your heart and in your spirit the way I did. And the Holy Spirit said this to me very distinctly. He said, do you want a word for this morning? I said, yeah, I want a word for this morning. He said, here's your word. You do the same thing to me that those parents did to you. And I said, well, God, am I that bad? And he said, I believe that I bless you. I bless my people. Begin to broaden it up. Begin to open it up. I bless my people. I bless men and women of God that have asked me for specific things. God, I need your help in this. God, I need you to plant me in that. God, I need you to intercede on my behalf in these things. And all the time, he says, I deal with this ungrateful attitude. How many of you have ever been there? I'm not the only one. Make me feel warm. Okay, I feel better. I got out of the pot and into the frying pan. I thought of a biblical reference to this. The first people that I thought of in the scripture, it came to me immediately, were the children of Israel. Sorry, Paul, I skipped the slide, didn't I? I'm not paying attention to my notes. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I begin to think of, in Matthew, I begin to think of the children of Israel when God sends the 10 plagues to Egypt, right? You know the story. He sends the 10 plagues and they begin to make their way out, and then they get up against an issue where the promised land's on the other side, but there's water, and they begin to go on and on. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out to Egypt? Didn't we say to you, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. 10 plagues, parts the sea, manna from heaven, water from a rock, clothes that never wore out, and they go right back to complaining. And I thought to myself, God help me not to be like these people. Help me to control the thoughts that I think and the words that I say. And I think we can all agree this morning that we've done some unjust complaining. That God has done significant work in our lives, and we forget so quick the blessings that God has poured out over us. We're like the Egyptians. We say to God, we love the place where we had to beg to leave. We love being slaves, Lord. We love being in bondage. We hate this place of freedom that you've created for us and all these miraculous blessings. God, help me not to complain. Moses, being the leader that he is, and you can glean so much. That's why I point you back to the scripture, because you can glean as a leader so much. You're leading in some area. He doesn't find reasons to add to the complaining and bash what the Lord is doing. He finds a reason, and he goes to God, and he asks God, what do I do? And then he says this in Exodus 16:8. And then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard your complaints against him, and he hears ours too. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not us. And I just want to, I just want to set this thing here, and I promise you, this is not a beat up session. I don't want to point out, oh, we're complainers, but I do want to set a foundation that we can all agree on. We can do better at not complaining. We can do better at being grateful for what God has done. Man, my mind goes to my brother, I don't know what it was, 3 or 4 years ago. Guy has a stroke. He's 35 years old. And I'm like, oh my gosh. He calls me, Amanda calls me. I go up to the neurological floor at ECMC, and he says to me, I have to move rooms. Can you help me? I said, what? Help you? He's like a tree stump. I don't need to help you. You need to help me. Throw me on your back and carry me up there. And I begin to watch him get up and limp along. And he needed the help of his younger brother to carry him to another room. How quickly do I forget that? How quickly do I? And now I need a baseball bat to take him on. He's totally fine now. But the things that we forget so quickly, and we go right to complaining. Are you with me? That night at Ryan's party, I wasn't complaining against the people. They weren't complaining against me. We were both complaining against the Lord. And we complain over the smallest of things. And my question, I'm going to pose a couple questions, and then we're going to move into how to move from complaining into an attitude of gratitude. My question for you first is, what do you complain about the most in your life? Do you complain about your job? Do you complain about your family? Do you complain about your marriage? Do you complain about Facebook? Do you complain about your house being too small? Your house being too big? How many of you know I'd like to complain about that? Money is tight. That young pastor, the way he operates, isn't the way that Pastor Marty operates. I don't know why you're looking at me. I'm talking about Aaron. What do we complain about the most? Our spiritual enemy, and I want you to get this, the problem is that Satan, our spiritual enemy, has taken our eyes off the goodness of God and placed our eyes on self. Me, me, me. The problem is you're focused on yourself. I'm focused on myself more than I'm focused on the many blessings that God has given us. You can say that's good. Our spiritual enemy has distracted us and taken our eyes off the enormous blessing and goodness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now I want to pause, and I'm not going to be much longer, but I want to pause and say again, I'm not going to use this as an opportunity to beat on myself or on you, because it might be easy. You might feel guilty right now. You might feel the Holy Spirit drawing you out of an attitude of complaining, but that's not the guilt of God. That is the grace of God. This text I'm about to share is written by the Apostle Paul. And if anyone had the right to complain, it would be the Apostle Paul. If you know the New Testament, if you know the Scripture, and I don't know a fraction of what I want to know, but I know the New Testament better today than I ever have in my life through Bible reading every single day. The Apostle Paul, he's called by God. He's called. He's blind. He goes through all these issues. He goes from being blind. He goes from being shipwrecked. He goes from being bitten by a snake. He goes from all that, and he has this dream. I want to become a preacher. I want to become a minister. I want to go to Rome and be a minister of the gospel, because I know if I go to Rome, I can spread the gospel all over the region. He wants to go as a preacher, but instead of going as a preacher, he goes as a prisoner. has every reason, has every excuse. This is why I complain. This is why I can complain. This is what I hate. This is what I'm upset about. This is what I'm mad about. But instead of resting and putting his focus on what had happened to him, he put his focus on who his God was. And he says this in Philippians 2:14. I love this. Do everything. He's chained up. He's in prison. He's in a much more difficult place than anyone sitting in this room is. And this is what he decides to speak, not only from his mouth, but speak from his spirit, man. Speak from his soul. Speak to the enemy. He says this to him. When the enemy says, see, you want to serve the Lord, and this is what you got. You want to serve the ministry that you're in, and this is what you got. Because we all hear those words, don't we? Instead of listening to that, he says this, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and deprived generation in which you shine like the stars in the universe. Wow. God, give me the heart that when I get irritated by the smallest of things, to reflect on who I am and what my identity is. He says this also. He says this in Philippians 4:6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And lastly, Ephesians 1:15, he says this, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. He takes it a step further. He takes the scripture he was referring to his own life, he moves it to your life. He moves it to my life. And he says, I haven't stopped giving God thanks for all that you're doing, the sacrifices that you're making, the things that you're doing for the kingdom of God. I haven't forgot about you and your love for God's people. I always give thanks for you. What a perspective. All the reason in the world to complain. He does the exact opposite of what his flesh tells him to. He confirms in his own speech and thoughts and attitude that Jesus is bigger than the issue he's facing. And he does it over and over and over. Just read the New Testament. He does it over and over. The guy doesn't stop. He keeps getting beat to a pulp. That's the Ryanizing. He gets beat up and beat up. People lie about him, cheat on him, lock him up unjustly, treat him like garbage. And what's he do? I give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His mercies do endure forever. He puts all the attention back on the goodness of God. That's the spiritual side. Are you with me? I'm going to give you the practical side. There's so many spiritual reasons why we shouldn't complain. Here's the practical ones. I'm reading a book. It's called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Dr. Travis Bradbury wrote this book, and he says these few things. And if you'll grab this, this will change your life. Repeated complaining actually rehardwires the brain to complain more. And you know people like this. They are professional complainers. They complain about everything. Here's why. Because every time you complain, you rehardwire your psyche to complain more. You say, how's he know what I do? I don't. Here's another one. Repeated complaining makes it easier to be negative than positive. Here's another one. Repeating complaining creates a confirmation bias. If you assume you're not going to like something, you interpret circumstances through preconceived ideas. Every time you complain, you get a preconceived idea. That's bad. He's bad. She's bad. That church is too big. That one's too small. He's a spitting preacher. He's a quiet, somber preacher. Every time you complain, you build a bias towards negative. I'm going to give you one more thing. Here's the practical side. Here's one more thing. Repeated complaining actually creates new trauma. Get this. This is incredible information. New trauma based on old trauma, automatically attaching new experiences to old ones. Let me give you an example. You got hurt in a church. Oh, I could preach and drop the mic on this one. I have seen a bunch of people get hurt by churches. Here's what they do. They walk in the door, and they're already thinking, this church is going to hurt me just like that church did. And it even happens in kids. Kids watch their parents get hurt in churches. Then they come into a new church. I don't care what church you go to. I really don't. I love you being here, but you need to be in the house of the Lord. But don't bring your junk from way back when into now, because the trauma that you carry from complaining about past circumstances will follow you right in the door here. Somebody need to hear that. You can bring trauma from old marriages, old relationships, old bosses, old jobs into your new season. Don't take it with you. So what do we do as followers of Christ during discouraging circumstances? You say, Ryan, if I can't complain, what do I get to do? I need to express myself. I've been complaining for 40 years. Some of you should amen me on that. Here's what you do. I'm going to give you two things, real brief, okay? Are you ready for them? Number one, if you can change your circumstances, do something about it. I get so tired, and this is just a righteous, just me being transparent with you about who I am, and also a righteous a little push from heaven for every ear in this house. If you can do something about something that's not working properly, go do it. You are dubbed by the Holy Spirit. Here, you're dubbed. Go do something to fix the problem. Don't add to the problem. People in churches, she's stupid. He doesn't know what he's doing. She's nuts. She's crazy. My dad will come back next week and fix it all. Don't worry. She's this, she's that, he's this, he's that. Stop talking about the problem. Help to find a solution to the problem. And I could point you, yeah, go ahead, give the Lord a praise. And I could point out things. I could point out situations. I could point out people and say, dude, what's wrong with you? And if you get around me long enough, If you open up your life for me to be a mentor in your life, you start complaining around me, you'll hear one of two things. You'll either hear me go Houdini and disappear, or you'll hear me look at you and go, dude, shut up. If you can change it, change it. We're going to Liberty Street this week. There's a widow there. I get so tired of people. Oh, the South Side is this. The South Side is that. You haven't spent any time there. There's some great people on the south side of Batavia. Lifelong members of the community. Great godly people. Yeah, there's some hiccups here and there. Yeah, there's some problems here and there. But I'm not going to point out the problem. I'm going to help to find a solution. And here's what we're doing this Wednesday. Okay? Here's what we're doing. We're going to the south side. You're going to see me in my work jeans and a t-shirt. And I'm going to be the supervisor. And we're going to make a difference in the community. I'm going to go to the homeowner, man. I just want you to know, City Church loves you. We love the south side of Batavia. We want to make a difference over here. I've been calling leaders in the community. Me, myself, I've been calling them and say, where's the need at? We want to know. Send me over to that need over there. I got a bunch of guys helping. Steve's helping. Ben's helping. We put a wheelchair ramp on a guy. He had a prosthetic leg. He couldn't get in and out of the house. He had to be carried in and out of the house. We went there and built the wheelchair ramp last month. If you can change something, do something about it. In here, if you see a ministry that's lacking, I anoint you in the power of Jesus. Go help. Don't talk about it. Did you see so-and-so? Did you see him? He wore a t-shirt to serve. When I was a kid, I've heard enough of that. If you can do something, do it. Number two. You ready for number two? This one is tougher for me than number one. I love action. Here's what's tougher for me. Number two. If you can't change the circumstance, change your perspective on it. Listen, and I say this with all the love in the world. You go into another church, I promise you, once you get there and hang out long enough, there's problems everywhere. Take that from a church kid. There's problems all over the place, all kinds of different churches, because there's all kinds of people there. And people are broken. I promise you right now, when my brother pinches me at dinner, when he pinches on me, it hurts. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes, just like you. But if you can't change it, change your perspective on it. You know what? So-and-so, she might be this, he might be that, but I'm believing God that they're going to make a turn on that. Begin to speak. You know what? I love Gary, your reference about Guy. You know what Dad said yesterday at the funeral? He says, I never heard Guy complain. What an attribute. And let me add to that. I've led worship up here. I've been effed out right at the altar. You think I'm lying to you? I've been effed out down there every time I saw a guy. Great job today, Ryan. You did a wonderful job. Even if he didn't love the music, he changed his perspective on it. Maybe someone's being reached that couldn't be reached this way. He had a perspective that it wasn't about him. He had a perspective that it was all about Jesus. That's how Tuesday night came about. Somebody came to me and said, dude, you gotta make a space for kids. I said, kids, I don't even like kids. Why do I have to make a space for kids? Because we need to change what we can change. Or change our perspective. You know what? I changed my perspective on kids. I love kids now. It's amazing. I love hanging around obnoxious kids. I really do. We need to control what we say and think. I love this. I'm going to finish up by saying this because it's about five after. He says this in Philippians 2:17. He says, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad. And I rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul says this, if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, my life is being poured out like a drink offering, I'm glad. What? I got to be poured out? I got to be dumped out. I got to be misused. I got to be hurt. I got to be tore up. I got to be poured out as a drink offering. Yeah, you do. But even if I am on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. So I read this and I thought to myself, dude, what makes you want to get poured out as a drink offering? You want to know? Do you want to know? Here's what the commentary said. Several of them said this. Paul knew that the sacrifice that he was making with his own life, being poured out. What are they going to do, fire me? You're looking at it like it's soda or something. Even if I'm being poured out, he says this to the Philippian church. I did it. So you would know Jesus more, and it's worth every bit of my life. He doesn't say, oh, I just want to die for Jesus. I heard that for so long in church. Dying for Jesus, you go to heaven. That's fantastic. How about living for Jesus? Being poured out as a drink offering for the lives of others. This is what Paul knew. Catch this. I'm not looking at me and saying, me, 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 me. I'm looking at Jesus and God's people and say, it's all about you. It's all about me helping you. It's all about me. And let me just tell you something. I have been tested. Pray for your ministry leaders. Pray for people in authority. Pray for your pastors. Because I'm going to tell you, the last 2 weeks for me, I feel like, I don't even know. Most people have one demon assigned to them. I must have 10. Feel like being poured out. But thank God for what Paul said as an example to us. It's worth it if you reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have one more scripture, and I'm ending with this. He says this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has been clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Here's what he says. He goes, I wanted to come to Rome as a preacher. I wanted to have a suit on. I wanted to be cleaned up. I wanted to be tight. I wanted it to work out the way I thought it should work out. How many of you have ever said that? But he says, I got locked up because the palace guard wouldn't have heard about Jesus otherwise. And I'm going to say this to you. Some of you, your life is being poured out. And you're saying, this was supposed to be easy. Your chains have a purpose. You might be chained to a job. You might be chained to a... You might be chained, whatever you're chained to. Paul knew, and you should know too, that you're being poured out because someone needs to hear what the Holy Spirit... They need to know who you... They need to know your testimony. There's always something to be thankful for. You just got to find it. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, we just want to say forgive us for the thing that we made. We made it about us. We made it about our own desires. We made it about what makes us comfortable. And Father, we commit our lives to your purposes and to your grace. To your perfect plan. I thank you, Lord. And I want you to hear this as a prayer, but I want you to hear it as a declaration. I sense an enormous growth shift in this place. I sense an enormous growth shift. There's going to be people, they're going to say, what's been happening? What's been going on? Why? How do they do it? Because we're relinquishing what we want. And we're making a commitment to what he wants. I declare that in a life today. I declare that in a home today. I declare that in a marriage today. I declare that in a man today, in a woman today. We thank you for your great grace. Father, that we've complained and you still loved us and shown your grace. That we've stirred up trouble and you still love us and you've shown us your grace. That we've quit too early. That we've went from place to place complaining. And your grace still finds us. We say thank you for that this morning. And I end by saying, I'm thankful for your house. I'm thankful for your people. And I'm thankful for the great ministry that you've sent us to. Be glorified in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise this morning. I need a little help. How many of you give me help? How many men in here will give me 15 minutes of help? Wave at me. Look at the hands all over the place. Some of you got alligator arms. You're going like this. We need help bringing all the Christmas decorations out from the outback up to the front here. If you can stay after, who's going to be heading that up, Aaron? You? Aaron's going to be heading that up. Meet Aaron. Just walk through these doors. We're going to bring a ton up. But before that, I want all the prayer people to come. You say, Ryan, in that book that Travis Bradbury wrote, he said that some people are predisposed to being negative. They're actually born with an attribute that's negative. That's interesting, isn't it? If you say, Ryan, I need help with this. I need to be ministered to this morning. I want you to come down and meet one of these great people. All the people up here, they're so positive. They're so uplifting. I want you to come see one of them. God bless you. We love you so much. My dad sends his love, and we'll see you soon.